Okay, we continue in the Rambam, Hilchos Malchus V'Lova, Perek Tezayin, Halacha Vav, Chapter 16, Law 6. Yesterday we were speaking about a storekeeper, where a storekeeper can get himself into all kinds of trouble by promising a customer can get into trouble by asking the storekeeper to pay one of his workers, and ultimately, since he trusts the storekeeper, he could end up having to pay both. That was yesterday's discussion. So now we're going to have a little bit of a different topic, but still with the storekeeper. Halacha Vav. Hachenvani Omer, the Chenvani, again, that's the storekeeper. He says to the customer, he makes the following claim. Yesterday, everybody agreed to what was going on. Yesterday, the guy said, listen, pay the guy for me. And the customer acknowledges that he said, pay the guy for me. The only problem was, he doesn't know if the guy got paid or not. But that, at least there was an understanding that A, he did owe somebody money, and B, he asked the storekeeper to pay the guy the money, and everyone agrees to that. The only question is, did the storekeeper pay him or not? That was yesterday's discussion. Here it's going to be an accusation is being leveled. Hachenveni Omer, the storekeeper, says to the customer, a regular customer, he says, end of the month, he gives him a little bigger bill than he expected. He says, Ata Marta, you told me, Litein Lazeh Mone, to give this worker $100. Otsi Visa, or you commanded, Vamarta Li, and you said to me, Im Yava Ploni, if so and so comes, Tenlo, give him. And now here's where we break with yesterday's case. Ubalabai somewhere, but the customer says, I never told you this. Okay, so based on what we know so far,
no meeting of minds,
what would we do now? What would be the psak? This is the simple part
there's
of the law.
Some votes in here somewhere.
What? So who does what?
The guy who says he didn't ask
the customer.
The customer.
Yeah, so what does he do?
Has to make a note.
He has to make a rabbinic oath. Hare balabais nish bahesis v'nifter. The balabais makes the rabbinic oath, and he's off the hook. Why? Because the only time we have the storekeeper make the oath and collect, it's when they acknowledge that he did indeed tell him, where the customer indeed acknowledges, I did tell you to pay him. But here, where there's a total denial, the guy comes with an extra $100 bill on the tab. He says, what's this $100 bill? You told me to pay the guy. He says, what are you talking about? I never told you. That's different than yesterday. Yesterday, he told him. He agrees he told him. Here he said, I didn't tell him. So that's a regular case of a claim that you owe me money with no proof, and the guy denies it. So he makes a shua sesis. But wait a minute. We're not finished yet.
You agreed to half.
But what if this really did happen, though? What if it did happen? What if the customer indeed did tell him to the storekeeper to pay Joe Blow $100?
The storekeeper did pay,
and he did, and the customer lied that he said it never happened. Because remember, nothing's been written down. We got to look at every possibility here. Could be the storekeeper made it up. So just have the guy swear and he's off the hook. But what if indeed? Let's say, for example, the customer did ask the storekeeper to pay. Maybe he forgot about it, whatever. Storekeeper dutifully paid the guy. So now does the storekeeper have any recourse?
Get the worker to say that he...
Okay, so let's continue now. Okay. So now the storekeeper, if he wants to pursue this further, Osadin Imze Shinasan Lo. He can now make a judgment with the one that he claims he gave, according to his words, that he gave to the fellow. Now, and then Rama doesn't fill you in the next stage. And what if the fellow will say, you never gave me anything, I don't know what you're talking about? Then he has to make a rabbinic oath as well to be freed. So, in other words, for the storekeeper, let's assume the storekeeper was told to do it. So let's look at the worst possible scenario. The customer did indeed tell the storekeeper to pay the worker. He paid the worker. And then the customer will tell the worker, you know, I'm going to lie and you're going to lie. And this way the other guy's going to pay and not me. Okay? So to get away with that, each of them would have to lie a rabbinic oath to say that. So at least the storekeeper, if it really happened as he said, will be mollified to an extent that the other two guys swore falsely. At least, you know, that's... You at least feel good that these guys are going to burn in hell for swearing falsely. You know, at least you got something out of the deal, right?
No revenge.
And if it really happened, it might be a chance that between the two of them, one of them will refuse to make an oath, you know. So at least he'll be satisfied that at least due process happened in that thing.
You just want to give that little talk about if you die owing money, it's not a good thing.
Yeah, but but at least, you know, if the guy just gets away with nothing, then you know, it makes it more difficult for him to take. Now let's continue. We're not done. V'cheini mamar achen vani lebalabayis hamakifo. Now let's say another case. The storekeeper turns to the customer who he keeps a tab with, a monthly tab, and he says, listen, kasu bepinkasi sheyesh li etz lecha mona. That you owe me $100 on my tab, right? I don't know if your commentator says what the tab is for. I think it's just no. It's just regular groceries, whatever. Yeah. You owe me $100. It's on the tab. $100 on the tab. Ubalabai is Omer. Abai says, "Ain't you there? I don't know. I don't know what's on the. I don't know."
So he doesn't deny it. He just says, "I don't know."
So he says, "Ain't you there? I don't know. I don't know." If I owe you any money. So, nishba balabais heses. So the balabais, the customer, makes a rabbinic oath. She'eni yodeh, he doesn't know. V'niftar, and he's excused from paying. Kidin kol toin al chaver l'chol dover. Just like anybody who makes a claim about somebody. V'ein bazet takonetzchem, we don't make any rabbinic takona in this case. For example, to say, let the storekeeper swear and collect. Because that's only in a case where people acknowledge what told them to do it. But if a guy says, I just don't know, then the best he can do is make, he's like a call for a call. He says, I don't really know what you're talking about. Ain't he or dad? I'm not aware.
Can you make an oath?
I'm not aware.
Can you make an oath?
The guy, I'll give you a good example, Paul. I'm going to pull out a note from 2005 that you owe me $100 from when you were in my store.
I pay you, Rabbi. Since it's you.
I'm just saying, now what's going to be, honestly, what are you going to say, Paul? Are you going to say, I know 100% for sure I didn't buy it?
No.
I don't know.
This isn't Shemi and Bori. One is sure and one...
But there's nothing...
He's not saying I do, I know...
It's not like you, if I had a star and it said you owe me, and the guy said, and you didn't pay back, he says, oh, I don't know. Mm-hmm. There's not a legitimate claim here. You know...
There's nothing back.
Listen, Sam, how long does it take for you to forget things that you did? A week, maybe? Maybe a week?
It's
right?
Generous.
I'm just saying, a week? So the guy says,
I usually don't remember where I put my keys 5 minutes later.
What if these mishulachim say, you know, you wrote me a bad check? A guy comes to you, so, you know, you gave me a check, it was a bad check. And the first thing I say is, I don't know. You know, that's the idea. The claim is not a strong claim. You see, that's what we mentioned before. That the storekeeper, having just the tab, is not a very powerful halachic item to have as a real shtar. That's the point. When you make, what we learn from this, when you make the tab, tell the people to always sign on the dotted line that you owe on the tab. Now you got very good proof. But just to say, you order nothing, the guy doesn't have to say, no, I don't. He only has to say, I don't know. Because, you know, I've been in the store. I think I paid that bill. I don't know if this is a bill. I don't remember if I owe this bill or not. So that shows you how weak his claim is, that even if the person says, I don't know, he doesn't have to pay. Okay, we leave the storekeepers. And now we move to a little bit more three-way deals, which makes things a little bit tricky. Okay, so let's take this slow. It's like about 4 or 5 scenarios in this next halacha. So we'll just take it really slow. Ruvain shahotzi shtar chov. Ruvain's holding a shtar of a debt, but it's not his debt to anybody. But what does it say on the shtar? Sheyesh lelevi al Shimon. Okay, so that Levi. Let's see now. Who owes who over here now? That Levi Shimon owes Levi $100. It says Shimon owes Levi $100. Now, Reuven, what are you doing with this shtar? So he's saying that Levi gave it to me to collect from. Shimon. Sheyesh. No, Sheyesh le Levi al Shimon.
Shimon owns Levi.
Shimon owes Levi.
Yeah, no, Shimon gave it to him.
Okay, so Shimon, let's say, gave the IOU, right? V'tan shalevi nasanalo. He says Levi gave it to him.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because Levi.
Sam, it says Levi gave it to him.
In the Hebrew?
Okay. Look at the Hebrew. Look at the Hebrew. The Zion.
The English is wrong.
Yeah, the English says Shimon.
See how good it is? I'm not looking.
Take a look at the Hebrew, Paul. Sam.
I'm looking.
Sheesh Lelevi al Shimon v'tan shalevi nesonalo. He says that Levi gave it to him. Biksiva mesira. So now, in other words, what happens over here? That again. So what happened is Levi lent Shimon $100. Now, for whatever reason, he wants Reuven to collect it. Could be Reuven bought the rights to collect it. Maybe. You know, Levi's going to have some trouble collecting from Shimon. He says, listen, Reuven, I'll sell you that you for $50. Just 50 cents to the dollar, right? Now, Levi just having a document that was written between Shimon, Reuven having that was written between Shimon and Levi is not a very strong proof to anything. There's got to be one more thing going on over here. So he gave him another document. Levi gave Reuven a separate document saying, I hereby give Levi permission to collect, Reuven, permission to collect the $100 that Shimon owes me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay? So he wrote a separate document and he made a kinyan on it and he gave it to him. And that's it. So now again, so what Reuven is really doing, he says, I want to collect $100 from Shimon.
Right.
And this is the shtar that says that Shimon owes Levi $100.
Right, and I'm standing in Levi's place.
And, now, but wait, says that, well, how do I know you just pick it up from the ground?
Right, here's the other
wait, we're not finished yet. He says, Levi gave me a separate shtar, and on the separate shtar, it said that I have the right to go there. But, for Ovid Hashtar, but I lost that shtar.
Aww.
I lost the shtar. He gave it to me. So all I've got is now the original shtar that Shimon owns Levi. Okay? Or he says another thing. As we're asking, what gives you the right to collect this? Well, the guy gave me a shtar. Where's I lost it? Oh, there's another way you could acquire. Remember, we have to. Here's the thing. Here's the important thing. We got to make a kinyan to transfer it. When you wrote the original shtar, it's a kinyan that Shimon owes Levi. There's a bond between Shimon and Levi, and therefore Levi can do what he wants to collect. He can collect from property, this and that. Just handing over the shtar to Reuven, you didn't make a kinyan on that piece of paper. You have to understand, all that piece of paper says is that Shimon has to pay Levi.
Right.
Nowhere can Reuven just pick up the shtar and say, you know what, since you have to pay Levi, give me the money.
Says,
what I got? I'm not even talking to you. So there has to be some kind of kinyan. That's the critical point. A kinyan has to be made where that IOU has been mamish transferred legally to another fellow.
But didn't he pay for it? Reuven paid for
it? It doesn't matter. He can gift it to Reuven.
Oh, that's not the kinyan paying for it?
I can gift it to him.
Right.
But we got to do something that transfers it. So usually you write the document. The document now. Here's the document. Now you own that other document, and now you can collect it. Or we make a kinyan agav karka, make a kinyan agav. In other words, that you can acquire a shtar on land. If you sell the guy land, or have him sit on the land, then you can be done without having to write again. It's another type of kinyan, just to make it simple. So, and therefore you don't need any proof at all. There's no time. It's done with a kinyan agav on the land. Okay, so now, so the guy's, Now, to be fair, in Reuven's defense or support, he does have that document. It could be. It just fell out of something.
No, but I'm asking, couldn't Levi just rewrite it?
Levi ain't around. Levi ain't around.
Okay.
All we know, Reuven's here. He's got the document. Shimon's here. He says, Shimon, I'm collecting. He says, what are you doing? I have no business. He gave me the document. He sold me the rights. And I'm collecting. Now, if he had the supporting document, case closed. Right? But he doesn't have this. He lost it.
Maybe that's why he gave it.
But this, his claim, let's just look at his claim. His claim is, I have a legitimate right to collect with this shtar, and that's, and my favorite here is the shtar. Well, where's the proof? Oh, that I don't have. That you gotta take my word for that. Okay, that's what his claim is. So let's see what happens now. So the straight halacha is, now we're going to do straight halacha and then secondary halacha. So just don't ask any questions after the first halacha because it's going to be an automatic second point. Hareza gova oso. This Reuven can use that document and collect straight off from Levi. If Levi's quiet and doesn't say anything,
Shimon,
then Reuven can collect with that document. He doesn't need any witnesses that he collected. Even if Levi contradicts him, says it never happened, it doesn't matter because what in the world is he doing with the document? So it, you know, that's going to be hard to, and he can collect me Shimon and Levi can't stop him. Now, of course, Shimon could make certain claims. Shimon can say, bring me a proof. I want to have a proof to that, Levi wrote the document and passed it to you. Okay? And Bezin would then say, okay, will you bring a proof to it? So, it's not that simple. He may have a proof. He may find some witnesses that saw him give it to him. So, now again, you have to realize, there is a level of honesty and dishonesty, and we don't know who's telling the truth and who's not telling the truth. So let's say, for example, the truth is that Shimon does owe Levi $100, and he never paid him $100, right? So Reuven says, I got the shtar for this. So the guy will say, well, I would be willing to pay Shimon, Levi, but I don't want to pay you, so you've got to prove to me that I owe you. Okay, so... But on the other hand, the guy could say, well, yeah, I really do own the money. I never paid him the money, and you've got it, so you might as well be honest and just give him the money. But he can challenge that if he wants to. Now, they can, but without that challenge, he can collect it. Why? Even if Levi is not happy with that, because Hol V'yotzeh, because possession is still 9/10 law. What in the world is he doing with that document? Right? If somebody owes you money, you know, you don't just lose documents like that. Could be Reuven's a sneak. And it fell out of Levi's pocket, and he took it, and he's a rotten creep. True. But again, we don't know who to believe, so we've got to start from a certain point, and possession is 9/10 of the law. And if Reuven's holding the document, and he's making a claim that it could very legitimately be true, even if Levi is saying it never happened in the world, he still can collect it. Although Shimon could say, I want proof that that is yours, and if without the proof, he doesn't have to pay. But now let's take it another step. What if instead of Shimon saying, I want proof that I owe you, Shimon turns around and says, well, that's very nice, but Ta'an Shimon, but Shimon claims, Shaparle, I already paid Levi this. I agree.
Why didn't he take the shtar back?
Good point. The Omar, and now he says, so Levi admits this, right? Shimon admits this, so Yeshava Li. So he says, swear to me, Reuven can say to the guy, you say you paid him, so swear it to me. Because without that, he have to pay me. I got the shtar. You said you pay, at least swear it to me. Okay? So therefore what has to happen? Yeshava Levi l'Shimon. So Levi will make the oath to Shimon that he paid. Okay, so you can...
Shimon will make the oath to Levi that he paid.
No, it says Levi.
Didn't Shimon owe Levi?
One second. He says, I paid Levi, right?
Yeah.
Ta'an Shimon Shapar la Levi. So, the Omar, and he said, Yeshava Li.
He asked Levi to agree with him.
Wait, no, one second. Yeshava Li Shalo Parati. Swear to me that I... One second, this is Memtes. Shalo Parati. That I didn't pay. One second. Ta'an Shimon. Shimon claims he paid Levi ve'omar, and he says, Yeshava Li. I'm looking at the commentary here. Shalo Parati, that I didn't pay.
The English says,
Yeshava Levi l'Shimon.
It's true that he paid him.
Well, it's my commentary doesn't say that.
That he was satisfied.
Ton Shimon Shaparla Levi. Shimon said he paid Levi. The Omar, and who said? And Shimon said, Yeshav Ali, swear it to me.
Yeah.
Okay, swear to me what? That he paid you?
No. He wants it to, in this case.
It's Shimon. Shimon is making the claim that he paid Levi, and he says, swear it to me.
Exactly.
So, that I paid you.
Exactly. Yeah.
So my commentary is wrong.
I don't know, but the next line is...
Wait. So Yeshava Levi Lishimin. So Levi swears to Shimon.
That presumably he hasn't been paid.
No, but he said, I paid Levi. So he said, swear to me that... Right? So Yeshava Levi Lishimin. 1 second. Oh, no. So I guess he's saying, aha. Ta'an Shimon Shaparla Levi. Shimon says he paid Levi. The Omar and Ruvain says to Shimon, to Levi, Yeshavali swear to me that I didn't
pay. That you weren't paid.
That you weren't paid.
Exactly.
Right, because he still wants to collect.
You weren't paid.
Because he still wants to collect.
Swear to me that you weren't paid.
Exactly.
So Yeshava Levi Lishimon.
Because his recourse would be.
So Levi swears to Shimon, okay.
That he didn't pay.
They didn't pay him. V'achakach yigbe Ruvain, and then Ruvain can collect from him.
Right.
Exactly.
And now.
From Shimon.
Exactly, because that's the piece of paper he's got.
Yeah.
And he can't collect from Levi, well, obviously, because he sold him the shtar.
He wants Levi to deny Shimon's claim that he paid him.
Exactly.
Okay, let's take it to the next step. Hodala, what if Levi admits that Shimon pay him?
In which case?
He did. So now what happened? He gave him a document based on him that's worthless.
Yeah.
Shapara, he admits that he paid him over there, so he's believed. But then what has to happen is Yesham Levi LeRuven. Levi has to pay Reuven. Because why does he have this document?
Yeah.
He has to pay him.
It wasn't about King.
One last possibility. Ta'an Levi Shalom Machar V'lo Nosan Shtar. What if Levi says, I never sold you the document. I never gave you a document. I don't know what you're talking about. And the debt is paid. And as the guy paid me. And I probably gave him the shtar, and I guess he lost it, and you picked it up, and you're making all these claims. So Zenishbach, this fellow, Levi swears, Hesis, a rabbinic oath, Viniftrin is off the hook. Because now, what's his basis? Levi's saying, I don't owe you. He says, I paid him also. So there's nothing there. So then he just makes a rabbinic oath, and the guy is off the hook.
Reuven lost this document from Levi that said that you're taking over, if he had that.
That's right. That's the problem. Losing that document really messes things up for him. Okay, let's try it. You want to try another one?
10-3.
Okay, then let's stop.
I've got to pick up my son.
Okay, we'll stop over here.
So how does the land one